everyone, welcome to another episode of Includes Podcast presented by Proximal Edge. I am your host, Marlene Marino, and if this is your first time listening to me or to us, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Includes Podcast. If you are a returning listener, once again, also welcome to you as well. I am so excited about our episode today because if you listened to the previous one, you know that we had our first part, our part one of two-part interview with Brian Cui from Medical Coding Geeks. So in today's episode, or on this episode, we will actually have the second part and the final part to my interview with Brian. So super excited to have Brian on the podcast, and make sure to find him, follow him. MedicalCodingGeek.com is his website. He recently started also a YouTube channel, so please make sure to go on YouTube and subscribe. Once again, it is Medical Coding Geek. And don't forget to listen to his podcast, Not Elsewhere Classified. Best medical billing and coding podcast name out there. But once again, medicalcodinggeek.com, Medical Coding Geek in YouTube, and the podcast Not Elsewhere Classified. So here is the rest of my interview with Brian. Enjoy, guys. One of the things that I love about you is that, like, I followed you on Instagram. That's kind of how you and I connected. I love to see your cooking pictures. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this guy, like, where does he live? What time are we having dinner? So, and then I see you doing your runs, and then I'm seeing you doing, you know, going to Disney. And one of the things that I like about that is that sometimes people see, you know, maybe you, me, and other people, and they're like, oh my God, you know, they have it all together and they're doing this and they're doing that. But we're just human beings, just like everybody else.
Yep.
You know, and that's one of the messages that I also want to share with all of my listeners. I'm a human being. I have, you know, the family, the issues, just like everybody else. So what are your favorite pastimes? And tell us a little bit about your cooking and your photos and Disney's and your runs.
Oh my gosh. So you made a good point, is that everybody has a human side. And so when I created the podcast, that was my goal, is that there has to be a human aspect when I talk to these people. I mean, whenever sometimes I invite people to the podcast and they're like, well, what's the topic? I'm like, there's no topic. The topic is you. I want to know who you are. And so I think, you know, the also, it also carries well with dealing with physicians. And so when we approach physicians, we have like this agenda in mind. You have to answer this query. You have to document this way. But my approach has always been different. I said, oh, how you doing, doc? What's going on? And so there was this one doctor that we became so close, like really close, you know, like really good friends. And so, you know, he's like, okay, what do you need help with? Or what can I do? Like, he became very open in terms of his documentation practice. And so to the point that I was the only CDI specialist that he wanted to deal with, you know? So it's like, where's Brian? Is he working today? Oh, he's on vacation. I'll wait when he comes back to answer these queries. I'm like, oh my gosh. So, you know, I think the idea is when you approach people just in general, you know, I like to break the ice a bit and, like, you know, look, we're people. You know, and I do it the same way with interviews, just like this. And even in informal interviews, like job interviews, I like to break the ice. Look, I know, you know, for me, I think when I break the ice, it helps me calm down, you know, because I get very nervous. And even in doing public speaking, I said, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to be myself. And the same thing with doing this video, like, you know what, I got to stop waiting and then just do it, you know? So that's how I've been. Anyways, the cooking. All right. So the cooking, the food videos, the food photos, all of that came about when you started looking at that last year, right? Last year. And so it was the pandemic, and restaurants are closed, and I have a family to feed, and I have nothing else to do. So I have, let me give you some of the cooking tools that I have. I have a wok, right? A big mm-hmm. wok. I have an even bigger wok, right?
Wow.
I have what's called I have a griddle in the back, right? It's called a Blackstone 36 inches griddle, right? So, those are my cooking tools. And so I am like, you know what? Spaghetti for the kids every day and Spam is not good, you know? So I
easy
had
to make.
So the same thing is like, you know, when I was in, you know, in the CDI trying to look for something else, I was like, I have to challenge myself in my cooking. And, what else can I cook? And I ventured into cooking Korean. I ventured into cooking curry. I ventured into, you know, I already knew my Filipino dishes. I even went, you know, Latin dishes using, you know, what is it called? Sazon. What else? What's the other one?
Adobo.
Adobo. Yes. I just bought a huge one. Rice and beans, arroz con pollo. I mean, the thing is that I lived in South Florida. I lived in Miami. I know for me, I live, breathe, and ate Cuban food. So that's my food. And I know coming up here, it's Puerto Rican food and I think Dominican food too.
Yes.
But there's a very thin line. But if you ask my preference, it's always gonna be Cuban food because that's what I grew up with. I had, you know, I lived in, for those that don't know, I used to live in Hialeah, which is, you know, okay. a lot of Cubans, right?
Yes.
I used to have a Cuban babysitter. I had two Cuban babysitters.
Oh.
Before I was in kindergarten, I spoke Spanish.
That's awesome.
My mom says, you know, you would tell the babysitter, you know, ¿dónde está mi mamá? Yo quiero mi mamá, you know, like a little kid. And then for some reason, the Spanish kind of left me. But then, you know, but when I learned Spanish, like just speaking it, you know, the accent, I had it, you know, because I guess I've had it anyways. So Latin food, I try to cover the whole gambit, you know, just try to get very creative. And even, you know, my cooking inspirations, Martin Yan, Yan Can Cook. You ever watched that one? The long time ago on PBS.
No.
PBS, the public channel, Martin Yan, Chef Pepin, he's an old French guy. That's another one. And then most recently, of course, Chef Gordon Ramsay.
Right?
You donkey. And so that, you know, I learned how to, I want to cook beef Wellington, all of that stuff, learning how to cook steaks. And so I cooked actually prime rib. So it's, you know, just techniques, you know, I guess when you look at cooking, it's just, first of all, not rushing it, understanding food, you know, the cooking temperature and just take your time, you know, take your time in doing all of that. So I decided to take pictures, all of that. And that's why I'm like, you know, everybody's like, I want to come to your house. I'm like, okay, we got a patio now. Sure. I guess when all of this pandemic stuff, I'll invite people over for dinner and get them on the podcast. I have somebody in Colorado. Like, she's like, oh, can you cook for me? I'm like, okay, well then, you know, because you're going to eat in my house, I'm going to feed you. You got to give me a podcast.
There you go.
Let's see, the Disney run, you know, it's just a long story what Disney runs, but my wife likes Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And so she got into Disney runs, and so she slowly got me into it. And the most recent one was in 2018. I decided, you know what? I'm 2019. I'm going to be 39. I'm about to turn 40. I need to finish a full marathon. And I wanted to take that off my bucket list before mm-hmm. I turned 40. And so I spent the greater year of 2019 training for that Dopey challenge, which is a 5K, 10K, 5K is 3 miles, 10K is 6 miles, a half marathon, which is 13 miles, and a full marathon, which is 26 miles, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, back to back to back to back. So I had to train for all of that. Long story short, I finished it.
Nice.
No problem. Got all the medals. I got the hat, the half marathon hat, you know, like that. And I have pictures there. You've seen on Instagram. But then after that, I had to go to the Bahamas. The celebration was to get on a cruise and do another 5K run. So that was another medal. So from that challenge, I got like the 5K medal, the 10K medal, the half marathon medal, the full marathon medal. And because I finished the half and the full, I got one medal. And because I finished all of the medals, I got another medal. So that's like what?
Wow.
6 medals, I think.
And yes.
I got one more medal because I ran in the Bahamas, and then another medal because of that, because I ran all of that. So I, you know, now in 2020, I didn't even bother running. So whatever weight I lost during in 2019, I gained it back. And so I'm like, I got to get back into it. So I signed up for another marathon, I think, or not just a half marathon. Those aren't too bad, but you know, those are some of the things that kind of helped me out. You know, it's going to go to your next question, but you know, that's kind of gets me to clear my mind and all of these things.
Yes. Cause right now with everybody with the pandemic and everybody working from home, a lot of the things, and especially for me, so I've been working from home for a very long time. And I find myself, you know, I get up, I get ready, and I start work. And sometimes it's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I started at 5 a.m. and I'm still working. So sometimes it's hard for people to find that balance of working from home and also not forgetting that they also, you know, have a life and, and they should get up every, you know, couple of hours and walk for, you know, for a little bit.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give everybody to be able to maintain that work-life balance? And like you said, for you, it's some of those runs that you're doing.
Yeah. So going back to my working as a CDI, I was working at a hospital for 12 years. And then 2018, we moved up here primarily because of Disney. My wife loves Disney. And we live like 2 exits away from the entrance, you know, the main entrance going into Disney.
Wow.
I had to leave that job. And so the job that I have now, it was remote. I've done remote, but not remote on a daily basis where you're waking and then working and then going to sleep. So when I first started though, it was like, you know, I'm in a new place. I have no idea where I am. I have no, you know, connections and so forth. I only know to get out of my bed, walk down here, go to work, work till 5:30, go to the kitchen, cook dinner, and then go back upstairs and then come back downstairs and repeat that process. So, tell you the truth, it was very depressing. It was depressing. Mm-hmm. And a quick fix that I did, which led to the runs, is that, you know, my usual day working in CDI was I would wake up at 6:45, get the kids ready, get them on the bus, and spend like a half an hour driving to work, finish work, clock out, spend another half an hour to another driving and picking up the kids coming home. So the time is about an hour, you know, of time. And so I spent, you know, I woke up, I said, I got to get outside. I got to go walk, you know, walk the community and so forth. So I would spend the time that I would commute and walk around first and then kind of get myself ready because I'm not doing anything else. It's very toxic when you just roll out of bed and start working. It's not healthy.
Yes.
So like I would walk around, kind of clear my head. The same thing as if I was driving, you know, and start my day. Eventually to the point where now I'm like, okay, I guess I'll integrate running. And that's how it worked into there. And, you know, when you run and you bike, whatever, you really got to clear your head, mentally prepare. And so it kind of worked both ways. And so the same way when I'm done, I can't stare at a screen anymore. You know, like I can't, you know, looking at records, looking at how many pages, trying to write so many letters. It's ridiculous. So, I mean, I have a set of screens here. I have a set of screens here. I have a laptop here. I have a laptop here. I'm not going to look at Netflix. I don't, you know, unless it's on the weekend or something, it's terrible. So, you know, you have to, and that was the topic that I had for, with Jeff White when I did HealthCon. I said, look, you know, I want you, Jeff White, he's from Arkansas. He's a dad. He's also a manager. He's also remote. Let's talk about it. Let's make this a presentation.
Yes.
It was great. Talking about how, you know, if you don't get control of this work-life balance, you're going to get depressed. You are seriously going to get depressed. And it really ate at me to the point that it was affecting, you know, me, my family, everything. Mm-hmm. And so I had you really have to take control of the situation. You have to understand that, you know, work is work, life is life, family is family, and you have to really set up an organized plan to handle it. So, I mean, that, you know, right now it's okay. I can handle it. I wake up, I have a routine. I go walking. If I can't go walking, I'll hit the weights and then whatever. And, you know, even the cooking afterwards is very therapeutic to me. And my wife says, can I help you? I'm like, don't touch nothing. Don't touch nothing, because it's my therapy. I would play, you know, the Google Music. I would turn on my Sirius XM radio, and it would be blaring, and I would be cooking, whatever. And then I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Picture.
Send it off to Instagram. Amen.
You know, and something important that you said is you have to take control of it, because if not, mm-hmm. it's going to control you. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you from my own personal experience of what's happening to me is I wouldn't even get out of bed, and I have my phone and I'm checking emails, and I'm like, that has to stop. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to set those boundaries. And, you know, my house is a 2-story house, so mm-hmm. my office is upstairs. And even when, let's say, I need to go to the restroom, I'll go downstairs just so that way I can get those extra steps.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to consciously think about those things, because if not, then I will be, you know, here in front of my 4 monitors too.
Yeah. And the thing is that the weight creeps up on you, because like I realize that I have to work out at least an hour to maintain weight. And I'm trying to reach to a point where I burn 1,000 calories before mm-hmm. I even start working. So I was at that point when I was doing my training runs. And so mm-hmm. 1,000 calories, that's about, I could do that at least in an hour. If I could burn that, then I'm good to eat whatever I want. You know?
There you go.
If I get the 1,000 calories in, and that, I think that that would have been like a 4-mile run, right? Mm-hmm. A 4-mile run or like a 2-mile run, and then some boxing, you know, workouts. I get 1,000 calories and get my heart rate up, and then boom, I could eat whatever I want at the end of the day.
Wow. And I really like that you integrated that driving time. And that's something that maybe I need to look into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, I'm not driving to work. So I'm just, yeah. you know, starting work at 5-6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm good to go.
that's the thing too, is like, I thought like you would think like, okay, I'm working from home, I can work early now. I'm like, no. Like, so what happened is that I used to start real early, like 5 or 6 or 7. I'm like, you know what? You have the whole day to work. I mean, it depends on what your manager would want, but mm-hmm. you know, they gave me the freedom to work whenever I want. But the thing is that working early means you have to sleep early, and you know, and doing that every day. I had coworkers that would wake up at 5, you know, work at 5 and work till 2 o'clock. I'm like, I tried that for a while, and I would be falling asleep in the afternoon, and that like my whole cycle would all be messed up. So what I did is that I shifted it. I went from 7 o'clock, and I said, you know what? I'm going to start at nine o'clock, finish it at 9:30, and I'm good, because I don't have to drive. And usually when I come home, it's already like 6 o'clock, you know? And so like, why can't I spend at least, you know, wake up at 6:30, work out, get my coffee, you know, get my mind ready, relax, start work. And then by that time, you know, 5:30, I'm done. Get food ready, go to sleep, repeat the day again. So like, you know, allow yourself, I guess the phrase is give yourself permission. You know, don't be limited to working early. I mean, unless you got to work early, that's fine. But I thought I could shift my schedule in a way that when I did it, I felt so much better. Like I mm-hmm. didn't have to rush to go to work. Like I'm going to take my time. And when you feel you taking your time to get to work, you will work so much better.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When you're already in a rush, you feel behind, and
it
follows you throughout the day.
Yep.
Wow. So some things for me to think about, and also mm-hmm. adjust. So what is in store for Brian Cui for the next couple of years? I know you talked about your YouTube channel, and I am so excited, guys, for Brian to come up with his channel. you can go in and subscribe now.
Yeah. It's funny because I already have like 60 subscribers and I have 0 videos.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the future, of course, is the YouTube channel. So I had a discussion with my wife, right? So she's a nurse. She's an ER nurse, night shift nurse. And so it's like, she's really, you know, not interested in doing it anymore. So she wants to move on to other things. So she's getting her bachelor's in nursing. She's looking into masters. Yeah. And because she has her HIM background, she's probably looking into like a master's in informatics or stuff like that.
Wow.
And so, you know, and the last guest that I had on my podcast, Stacey Buck, she mentioned that she now works less and makes more. So I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. You know, could you imagine, you know, again, going back to Tim Ferriss, the 4-hour work week,
yes,
you know, working less, making more. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is coming full circle. And so how can I do that? And so, of course, the YouTube channel, I think you never know unless you do it, could be not just the way, but the pathway into something more, right? Mm-hmm. Becoming more, putting myself out there than just my voice. And I feel like if I put myself out there and just kind of like, just do it, you know, the same way I tell, you know, people like yourself, just do the podcast. Why can't I take my own advice and just do the video? But the thing is that, you know, I talked about with Stacey, the thing is that I could speak in front of anybody, no problem. I could do this podcast, no problem. I could do a national webinar, no problem. When I do this thing right here, I freeze. I don't know. But I told my wife, I said, look, I think I'm going to create a 5-year plan. And she says, why can't it be a 5-month plan or a 5-week plan? I said, no, we can't rush this. It's going to be a 5-year plan, because if we rush this, everything's going to mess up. But it's going to start with this. It's going to really start with this. And so we're going to continue with the podcast. And you know, I think it's more like, you know, with a lot of companies out there that are trying to do YouTube, I think they're always attached with a company per se. Mm-hmm. But like for me, which is not bad. I mean, you could use whatever medium you want to promote your business. But I've always been all about promote yourself before your business. And mm-hmm. so when you promote yourself, people know you. And because they know you, there's a term called attraction marketing. They are attracted to you because of that. Then they'll like, hey, what do you do? What is it that you do? And so I said, well, I do this and I do that. I said, oh, can you do this? Can you do that? I'm like, sure, we'll pay you. No problem. Okay. So that's the idea. You know, with the YouTube channel, I've been the same thing that I've been doing with this podcast is kind of like researching so much about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at this thing here that I'm using this microphone. I'm always very techie. So I think that might kind of translate into this, where I have that light here. I have this ring light up here.
Oh my goodness.
I have, let's see, was it a $1,000 camera rig right behind me right here?
Wow.
I have a $165 boom mic right here. I have a $500 mixer right there. You know, so like it's all about experimenting. And the thing is that people are doing YouTube videos, and I just had interviewed somebody on YouTube about it. They're just using their camera. Good for them. Good for them. And whatever technology you use to put yourself out there, good. But for me, it's like I always have to not to be one up, but I always want to challenge myself to, like, you know, I want it to be just like what I see on YouTube. So I do a lot of research, and a lot of the stuff that's been funded is because of things like the podcast, things like the speaking events. And so I've kind of reinvested myself all of this and kind of turned it to the YouTube channel. So that's my 5-year plan. It's this YouTube channel. What to expect with the YouTube channel? I wrote it behind this. I turned it around on purpose because I don't want to share it right now. I'm kind of like okay. But the thing is that, but I think I'll share with you. The premise is that I want to share what I know. And I think there's not enough people talking about CDI. There's people talking about coding. That's great. But what about the other stuff revolving around coding? Some of the terms that we don't normally talk about, why can't I break that down? You know, I have a Facebook group. It's about over 10,000 people there. Mm-hmm. What are they talking about? Why can't I bring that out? You know, kind of break down those concepts. And I think that's my idea. It's like, you know, taking a concept, breaking it down, putting it all together again, even sharing a journey of things that I don't know, like like CPT coding or Hikspix coding, or, you know, anything that's on the outpatient side. risk adjustment. I have an understanding, but I don't have a clue. Like, you know, can I do it myself? You know, and then because of that, put the video out there, mm-hmm. get some feedback, fill in the gaps, come up with an updated video, and there the content just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing. So that's what my idea is. It's like, be the guy with the unofficial advice, you know, in a way. Don't proclaim. I never proclaim myself as an expert. Even though people tell me that I am, I don't. I'm just somebody who's just there to figure it out. And I think that's all about. And so with 5 years also, even further down, I'll tell you further down, I've been telling people, like, I look at Netflix, you know, the time that I do watch TV is...
When is that?
During the weekends, right? Or if I'm on staycation. So right now, after this, I'm on a little vacation. I have tomorrow off, and then I have my next week is my birthday, and then I'm off from Wednesday on. So maybe I might watch Netflix. But when I watch it on Netflix is like documentaries, right? And so my goal, at least with this, the podcasting, you know, thing, the YouTube, is to make CDI mainstream. So one of the biggest things that happened this month is that my podcast was the top 30 in the careers podcast. Now, what I did not share earlier was that it beat out Success Magazine. It beat out Damon John's podcast, the guy from Shark Tank.
Shark Tank, yes.
Yeah, the former CEO. I think I don't know if he's the former, but he's the CEO of FUBU. Mm-hmm. So I beat his podcast. There's another guy called Eric Worre, the network marketing pro. I beat his podcast that day. So like the potential, though, is like not my podcast, but the industry itself, HIM, mm-hmm. CDI, mm-hmm. medical coding. Why can't we make that mainstream? You know, you Absolutely. See it on TV. And so going back to my Netflix thing is like I see documentaries. There's one called Song Exploder. Check that out. It's such a great format. And it's also in podcast form, Song Exploder. Where he takes apart songs and the artist kind of explains the pieces of the puzzle and they put it all together and they would have all of these, you know, they only does four episodes, right? Wow. The other one, The Surgeon's Cut. I talk about this also in the podcast, The Surgeon's mm-hmm. Cut on Netflix. It's a recommendation. It's the same thing. It's putting surgeons in the mainstream. Mm-hmm. So why can't we have a documentary for HIM, CDI encoders? Just something to that effect. And I think the podcast is kind of like my source. So I want you on the podcast in the future. So we'll have this conversation again. Probably Absolutely. It's going to last like longer than this podcast about this episode. And so like kind of source people. And then eventually, because when I learn this video stuff, you'll be on video too. And so that'll turn, I want a documentary. I think that's later on down the line, but that's way more than my 5-year plan, but that's it.
Wow. Well, I'm super excited to just see all of the amazing things that you're going to be doing, because one of the reasons why I want to do the podcast, there are other podcasts. I mean, I love Terry's podcast, mm-hmm. Tony L. Holmes' podcast. I mean, mm-hmm. just amazing. Victoria. Let me make sure I don't forget anybody. Sonal
Patel. Mm-hmm.
Sonal Patel. I love their podcast and I listen to them all the time. I listen to yours. And it's like, okay, there isn't enough people talking about it. You know, there is exactly. a lot of information out there. Some is right, some's not right. Mm-hmm. But there is not enough of us talking about it and bringing these things to light. So I wanted a place where I could do it and just share my knowledge with other people. So, which is what you do. You know, you're sharing everything that you're doing. You're creating, I mean, you are a movement is what you're creating, Brian. Okay. And when I hear you talking, when you're talking about your equipment, you want to make sure that things are done perfect, that they're being done correct, that you're not just putting something and it's just something that is being put out there just because. So I hear perfectionist, you want to learn your craft, you want to share your knowledge with everybody, and you want for also other people to bring in and share their knowledge too. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
So yep. That's awesome.
It's not just me. I just don't want me to be the one. I want to, because of this, I want more YouTube channels to be out there because Correct. I want more podcasts out there. I want our own channel or something like that, or our own Netflix series, something like that. Because, you know, CDI coding, HIM mainstream, it has to happen because we can't be, you know, like what's medical coding, you know? Yes. Could you imagine me doing an interview out in the street now, or once everything is good and ready to go, I go out in the street. Do you know what medical coding is? And they're like, I don't know. No. You know? So could you imagine later on down the line when I ask the question, a couple of years down the line, like, oh, yeah, medical coding. I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yes. And not the commercial from back when, like 20 years ago, get on the couch and come to school.
Yeah. No, right. I think the idea is just, you know, our industry is important in healthcare. And yes. So when I think that's just the main objective is like, you know, it's more to it than just providing the care and mm-hmm. managing the care and the insurance. In between is us. And so can we have the in between kind of come out and join the mainstream audience?
Absolutely. And, you know, with the videos, and you said that you can do the podcast, no problem. You can do this, no problem. But then it's like the video part. I can share with you one of the schools that I work at, we're doing video projects. And I'm like, how many minutes do I need to be on camera? Mm.
That's my thing. Yeah. So the thing is like, I could do like, you know, podcasting now is it's been increasing. It used to be like 1 hour. Now I'm doing 2 hour podcasts. That is just, it just blows my mind. So like now I'm like, I'm worried for 15 minutes. I'm like, wait a second. I can do podcasts for 2 hours and I'm worried about a 15 minute video. I don't know. I just need to do it.
Listen to the advice he gave me last year.
Yeah. Just Brian, just do it.
I'm going to find that message and send it back to you.
Yeah, for real.
Oh my goodness. This is awesome. So if you could go back and visit yourself, what would you tell yourself back 10 years?
So I think it has to do with dealing with stress. So okay. Like if I had to go back, because like I know, so like what was 10 years ago? So 30. So let's go back to when I was in my 20s, right? Okay. So like at the time, and I mentioned that I was in even in college, like, you know, but when I used to be the radiology file clerk, it was the time that they were changing their systems into what's called IDX RAD, right? So it's like, you know, upgrading your system to electronic health record. And nobody knew the system except for me. I was the most proficient one there. And so when it went live, it's like, I was doing everything, right? I was doing everything, like, you know, and everybody was looking at me like, what's going on with this kid, you know? And so I was breathing hard. I was, you know, kind of stressing out. I was panicking. And so that's the thing. It's like, you know, calm down, dude. I went back in time, you know, do the little, you know, the little time travel thing, walk through the portal. And then like, hey, brother, hey, calm down. Calm down. It's okay. Even in going back to the 4 hour work week, there's one thing in the 4 hour work week that it says, the question that you always ask yourself is, what's the worst that can happen? You know, what's the worst that can happen? And so I would have told myself, what's the worst that can happen if everything falls apart on opening day on a go live? Well, because, you know, bad things are supposed to happen on go live anyways. Yes. Why are you stressing, bro? You know, relax. And so that's what I would tell myself. It's like, you know, again, take control of the situation, you know, get a handle of it, understand it. And then always ask yourself, well, what's the worst that can happen if you don't do nothing? So that's what I would tell myself.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Would you go back in like the Back to the Future car?
I want the Doctor Strange one where he just opens the portal and then I just walk through the portal like, hello, you know, that type of thing.
You probably will scare yourself.
Like, what the hell? I'll probably be laughing at myself like, man, what happened to you, man? Gain some weight. You know, that type of thing. I would have been ragging on myself. To you? I look like that at 40. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So, but what about, going back full circle, what advice would you give new coders or people that want to be coders? Because I know a lot of people are wanting to now, you know, with the pandemic, everything that started last year, I've seen an increase of people signing up for school and they don't know enough about what billing and coding is or what the healthcare field is. It's one of those things that, I can work from home. So what advice would you give us?
Man, that sounds like a YouTube video that I would do. But anyways, what advice new coders? Well, just regardless if they're coders or, you know, I mentor a lot of HIM students.
Yes.
And yes. I tell them, well, first of all, the same advice that I just told myself, calm down. Cause you know, when I got my RHIA, you get overzealous. You think you can conquer the world. Calm down. You just graduated, man. The thing is also, I did a podcast episode with Noel Dale Brown. And so the second one is that there are things that the school doesn't teach you when you graduate. And so you have to be prepared for, you know, rough waters when you graduate, but they never teach you how to handle or swim through those rough waters. Yes. And that's unfortunate. You know, I wish, you know, institutions would implement that. The same way like a high school is teaching you how to question, you know, resources, you know, yes. So kind of take that back into that world. So what I would tell coders is like, look, you know, baby steps, please take baby steps. Don't you have a goal in mind, but keep in mind that not, you know, it can happen, but most times it won't happen, that you won't get that job that you want. Now, I did a podcast episode. I always did a lot of these case studies where Sue Chamberlain, she works for this release of information company. Is it RCM? Anyways, so it took her 30 years just to get to the position that she wanted. Yeah. 30 years. But the thing is that in her 30 years and getting into the position she want, she was fully qualified for the job that she wanted after 30 years. The position that she wanted was in, out of all things, release of information. I mean, release of information is not the most sexiest position out there, but that's what she wanted, you know? And we had a talk like, yeah, release of information is important, because mm-hmm. when you look at the records and the records that are being released by those release of information people, I mean, like, hello, where are the records? I mean, you're sending yes. me this. You don't know the context of the records that you're sending. So it took her 30 years, but she worked in coding. She worked in inpatient. She did consulting. So could you imagine rolling back and becoming a vice president of a release of information company?
Wow.
You know, those are the things. So like the direction, you know, again, anything like success, it's not a straight line. It's always a curvy line, but yes. especially when you're talking about, you know, like Sue, she took a full circle. She went like around the park and then she went all the way back to where she wanted. So expect that, you know. Another one that I did, that I just did, I just spoke to somebody on LinkedIn where somebody has a position that pays more. And, you know, she's an HR generalist and she wanted to get, she's like looking into, you know, getting into HIM and all of that. And I said, and she says, well, if I take this job in HIM or coding, I might have to reduce my pay. I said, well, you know, that's a decision that you need to make. You know, mm-hmm. are you willing to take a lower pay for the short term? And then later on, and I'm for sure, for real, with the way this industry is working, you will make that money tenfold, even higher, as you continue on with that journey. If you have a specific journey, just stick with it. It's not going to be straight. You may do positions on the other side. The thing is with me, it's like you know, my goal was health information technology. I wanted it to be the guy who taught the software. Now I'm not there yet, but I'm in coding, right? So I took a job in what? I took a job in the jail system. I mean, mm-hmm. I took a job in CDI. I never thought I would do. But a lot of the people that come to me with opportunities is, would you mind doing this opportunity? And the question that I always ask myself is, why not? Absolutely. Why not? Why can't I do it? You know, even though it's something that I have no clue about, I've always found myself just jumping in. Same thing like podcasts, same thing like YouTube. I have no clue, but I'm just going to figure it out. And so when you figure it out on your own and then you find yourself teaching it, you know, your experience and kind of figuring your way out, it just makes you so much better.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. That was a great advice. Great advice, because I hear a lot of the time students that are, oh, I'm certified, I don't just want to go in and do this job, I want to jump in and be a coder today. Mm-hmm. Or I want to work from home today. So I usually tell my students, I say, think about this for a moment. So you're certified, you complete your degree, you have your diploma, or your AS degree, and you go to a doctor, and you're the doctor, somebody comes to you and says, hi, I'm newly certified. Here's my resume. I want to do your coding and your building from my home. Hire me. How would you feel if that was you? And then they think
the question I would ask is like, who are you?
Yes. So then they go, oh, and I said, I'm not telling you that it's not possible, because it is. It is very, very possible, but you have to work up to that point. You know, you just can't expect that they won right after you finish your program.
And you have to have the right mindset and the right attitude. I think the attitude is key.
Yes, 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 yes. So if you could step into my shoes.
Your shoes. What shoe size do you have?
6.
Oh gosh, it's gonna be painful.
Size 6. Okay, I'm finding myself in 6.5. So you have a little bit of room.
All right. Slippers. I'll put on your slippers, at least an open toe. I'll fit perfect. Into it. Yeah.
What would you have asked yourself that I didn't today?
I didn't even prepare for that question. What would I have asked? So step in your shoes. Mm-hmm. And then what question would I have asked myself?
Yes.
I think you pretty much covered it, but I don't know. I really don't know. I think, well, with 13 questions, I'll tell you, is it's a lot. I mean, the thing is that if you ask me questions, I'm going to take another hour or so, you know. I guess the question that you would ask is, I would have asked myself, how did you prepare for your YouTube channel? I think that's something that I would have had you ask me. Okay. It's just a lot of research. The same way I've already pointed out all of the equipment.
Yes.
I've been doing a lot of research with YouTubers, medical coding YouTubers like Victoria Mole.
Which is amazing.
Yep. she's somebody I'm trying to chase, but not necessarily, but she's at a point where, and we've talked about this, is like her boyfriend is a gaming streamer on Twitch. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, you know, the gaming, the platform is they have a broadcast booth and they're always changing between screens. They would have, you know, like the green screen and all of that stuff. And that's something that, gosh, it would require another computer to stream, another computer to do the broadcasting, the OBS, all of this stuff is crazy. Yes. And then I would have to have a green screen behind me. I would have to have I would have to take this camera and attach it to the computer. Oh my gosh, it's so technical. Yes. So that's why it's a lot of things. But it's some of the things that I did study was, you know, how to get the perfect camera settings to where it's you see me, but then the camera, what will happen is that this background will be blurry. It's called bokeh. And it has a nice effect. And I've had it all positioned there, everything. Another thing that I was really working on is lighting. So you see here, key light, backlight. Uh-huh. I think I have a camera here, fill light. So it's a lot of stuff that I wouldn't think of. Like, you know, mm-hmm. if I had this light bright on my face, would be, I never thought about lighting, you know, and that it sets the mood and it sets everything apart. And setting depth behind your background and making things look right, making sure your equipment is up to par. Like, this is a 1080p camera. This microphone and learning all of that stuff. It's just now, because of that, I'm starting to, you know, who inspired me to create YouTube channels? Casey Neistat. I don't know if you've watched him. Mm-hmm. He has a certain vlogging. Well, he used to do daily vlogs. And so he would take his camera. He would have this setup. I think my video might be that type of format, type style, where it's just random discussion and stuff like that. Other people, Fun for Louis, even the old school, you know, YouTubers like Community Channel. I don't think she even does anything anymore. Anna Ancana used to do a lot of videos. His name was Tim Delaghetto, but his real name is Tim Changsaratsu. He's a Thai guy. He had a channel, Barbell Brigade, Just Kidding News, all of these channels that were kind of, I had to study not just the past year, but over the years, kind of leading up to all of this, kind of inspired it. So like, I'm trying to get a certain style on how to do the video, but I think also I have a separate laptop just for the editing. So yeah, there's a lot of things that you have to consider, is the lighting, the sound, the camera, the editing. That's just too many layers that I have to deal with. And then on top of that, trying to do this podcast too once a week. Gosh, yes. Once a week is tough too.
Wow. And I can only imagine how much in depth the video editing it's going to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know enough about Audacity to put together the podcast, but I cannot, oh my goodness, I can't imagine.
It's just another layer. So it's like, you know, imagine trying to edit on Audacity. It really is the same thing. If you're trying to do basic editing on video, it's just editing the audio version. But the thing is that when you're doing video, you have to now have the right presence.
Yes.
You know, I can't be just looking at and just talking and then just saying my phrase. Like when I would record here, I would record my phrase. You know, I would be like this and just kind of talking. And then I would pause and then I would unpause again and say my next phrase. I would pause and then do my next phrase. You know, and when I do the intros, you know, it takes like, it's a 2 minute take, a 2 minute video, but it takes about 10 minutes to do because I'm pausing and I'm like, what do I say next? You know, and then go back and then go to the next one. So that's one of the things that this mixer does. But I can't do that on video. I have to do it on one take and then edit it from there. So that's, I just have to learn. I think when you look at videos, just for those that are listening and for yourself, if you do YouTube, it's phrasing. When you phrase, you have to make sure your breath, you know, is all right. And I might have to talk about that later, but that's another video within itself. Jeez.
There is so much to talk about, Brian. Mm-hmm. So much to talk about. And I know when I put the questions together, I'm like, is this going to be enough questions? I
don't know. Oh, it's enough. It's more than enough, girl.
But I really wanted to make sure that, you know, that I brought out, you know, I brought you out, you, the person, the healthcare, you and just all of the amazing things that you're doing, because like I said, you've influenced me and I know that I'm not the only person. And I hope to be able to do the same thing for other people. That's my mission, is to share my knowledge and just be a mentor for somebody else and help other people get to where they need to get to.
Good. Excellent.
Yes. Brian, thank you so much. It has been amazing, amazing having you. My very, very first interview for the podcast. And I just want to say thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. And here's to more interviews on your podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, please make sure to check out Brian Kui with medicalcodinggeek.com, his podcast, the best name out there, not elsewhere classified. And I will catch you guys on our next episode. Bye.